If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Quick reminder, from now on, I'm going to be releasing a regular episode every 2 weeks with a bonus episode going out every other week on Headstuff Plus. Bonus episodes will feature some new improv games as well as the regular calls. Head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. Phoning it in.
Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
Hello and welcome to the Christmas festive edition of Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about Christmas miracles. Terry, you saved Christmas for everyone, is that right?
Yes, I did.
How did you do that, Terry?
How didn't I do it, more to the point. I live in an estate. And my house is at the end of a cul-de-sac. And what happened was there was terrible downpouring of snow. You probably remember a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the whole cul-de-sac got barricaded with snow. Like, I mean, an ice wall, like what was on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah.
And myself and all the kids in the neighbourhood, including my own little sprogs, said, well, how the fuck is Santa going to get down here if this is all blocked off? So we got together, we collected all the cutlery that was in the area and we started hacking away at it. And that meant that we were clearing a path for Santa to come down. And we ended up getting nationwide media coverage because it was the first time that the whole cul-de-sac and the estate actually got together for a common purpose. Like, instead of the usual fighting and things that we would have, or like cars burning and all of that kind of antisocial behaviour, people came together for a positive thing, for a change.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hang on. You said you saved Christmas. Was this all your doing, kind of?
Yeah, well, it was my own initiative.
Right.
Because I'm trying to do a thing now where, like, I help people and not be so selfish.
Right. Would you have been very selfish in the past?
Yeah, I was very selfish, kind of narcissistic and stuff.
Right.
Didn't want to help anybody. I was neglecting everybody's needs in my own family and neglecting my own needs in a way. So I thought, it's time to give back. And it's time to give back to Slanty Jaws, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we call Santy in my house.
Well, your sister Bernie is on the line and Bernie says it was actually her idea to get all the cutlery and she rallied everyone together. Is that right, Bernie?
Yeah, absolutely. No surprise that she's gone on the radio, the little rat. Always taking my ideas. Ever since we were four, Dave, ever since we were four, we were in under the Christmas tree. And I said, Ma, do you know what? Maybe we shouldn't put a star on the Christmas tree this year. Maybe we should put an angel. Me Ma bursting at the tears. She's like, you know what? I had a vision and I knew that an angel came to me in my dreams and the angel will be revealed to me through my child, right? And then didn't she go and say, oh no, that was my idea.
Well, Dave, the only reason I said that, because Bernie's talking absolute gick over, is because I am the only star and angel under that roof.
Right.
Thank you.
But do you, Bernie's claiming it was her idea to take
down. Oh, I know.
Yeah, so do you deny that?
Oh, I deny it down to the ground.
Yeah.
How dare you? There we were. I literally thought of that because do you know what I was doing at the time, Dave? At the time, I was sitting there eating a bowl of Cocoa Pops.
Right.
What, Dave, what do you use to eat Cocoa Pops?
A spoon.
A spoon, Dave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I thought, I looked at the snow and I said, do you know what? Do you know what? We don't need a shovel. We need a few spoons.
Yeah. You are a spoon,
forks.
Bernie.
Well, hang on now, Terry. Bernie gave us the reason that she came up with this idea. How did you come up with the idea of taking down the wall with the cutlery?
Well, I have a very innovative mind, Dave, and I was told that at a FOSS course one time.
Okay.
Even on my CV.
So she didn't finish the FOSS course,
by
the way.
Yeah, but that is neither here nor there, thank you. So I was sitting at home thinking, what can you do? What would a scientist do? What would a stay-at-home visionary do? You are faced with a wall of ice. Christmas is coming. Slanty Jaws needs a way in. Where is the sleigh going to go? He wouldn't have been able to surmount this wall. It was so high. He wouldn't have been able to reach the roofs. And I said, what do I have on my person today to get this wall down? And I'm a woman of limited means, Dave. So I didn't have like the...
That's right. The only scientist she's ever listened to is Neil Buchanan from Art Attack, that's it.
Yeah, and I loved him. And what? Here's one I made earlier. It sticks in your mind. He was a good man. So I said, I'm going to use what's here at my disposable. And at my disposable was a load of cutlery.
Okay.
And that was it.
Yeah.
Simple.
I didn't know. It's Bernie's.
That's just exactly what I said. Wait, Bernie... In a roundabout way. In a long form way. All right? That's what I said. Cut to your points. Cut to the points. Cut with your... Get your knife. Right? Doesn't matter if it's a butter knife. If it's a serrated knife. Get to the point. Cut to the point.
Well, you see, Dave, I just want to point out that after I had this breakthrough in me mind's tank and I went out and started hacking the wall down, I went on Facebook Live. One of me kids was holding the phone and we filmed it. We filmed a bit and that's how it ended up on Nationwide.
Yeah.
And then this little muggins here, she logs on, even though she has me blocked on everything for the last 5 years. She has a bot account, got on, saw me Facebook Live, and then she stole my idea. And she's always been doing this. It's like she almost wants to ruin Christmas for me and the Curly Sack.
Ruin? I would never want to ruin Christmas.
You're the Grinch, Bernie. You're the Grinch.
The Grinch?
Bernie.
How dare you call me the Grinch? Just because I don't like to put decorations up before November 4th.
You have to loosen the poor strings, Bernie. Your own kids are devastated that you've missed out on Christmas all these years. They're always coming over to my kids.
Can we have a selection box, Auntie? Selection boxes are a waste of money.
No, they're deprived, Bernie.
They're not deprived. I just say, who really wants to eat a turkey? Everybody knows chicken is the superior board.
It's
so
not.
I buys a chicken for dinner.
Everybody knows she's serving up Cocoa Pops for those chislers.
Hang
every
on.
Christmas.
What's wrong with a selection box, Bernie?
Why would you need a selection?
Yeah.
There's no selection. You know, why should you have a selection?
What's the alternative, though? What would you give them?
I would just give them, right, I have one bar on the table and say, there you go.
it's a briquet.
That does sound a little bit stingy, Bernie, for Christmas, you know. Cocoa
she's
Pops
so
and chicken.
She's so miserly, Dave. You would not
bar,
believe.
Stingy.
Single bar.
I just would not spend Christmas. Oh.
Dave. Taste buds, right? Everybody's getting too fancy these days. What's wrong, Dave, with a bit of chicken and Billy Roll for a Christmas dinner, right?
Your kids would know Billy Roll if it came up behind them and attacked them.
How dare you?
Okay, Terry and Bernie, listen, stay on the line. I want to bring on some other callers, but we'll come back to you. I'm hoping we can, I don't know, bring about a Christmas miracle that will bring you two together. In the meantime, Sonia's on the line. Sonia, you got a strange visitor on Christmas Eve. Who was it?
Yeah, I did actually get a strange visitor. I got a little knock-knock on the door and a woman outside holding a child. Not baby Jesus. My husband's fucking baby.
Oh, right. He'd had an affair, was it?
He'd had an affair and I get the knock-knock on the door. I get the woman outside saying, this is mine and your husband's. And yeah. Not exactly ideal on Christmas.
No,
yeah.
I mean, we are talking about Christmas miracles. I suppose it's a miracle in a way, childbirth and...
Didn't feel that way.
Didn't feel that way, Dave,
at the time.
And what was the miracle that came from it then?
Me and that woman actually became very good friends.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Her name is Marjorie.
Marjorie. And what's the situation with you and your husband now, do you mind me asking?
Well... I suppose the broader miracle is what we've worked out is a polyamorous situation
between
the three of us.
All right.
In our neighbourhood, it's become, I suppose, kind of the way. So I started off very, very angry about this whole thing. Very, very upset, very surprised, shocked. Invited Marjorie in. We sat down, chatted through the whole thing. And then from there sprouted this new... scenario, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just so I'm clear in the sort of the dynamics, are you and Marjorie like a couple as well, or is it that you are both in a couple with your husband, if you know what I mean?
Interestingly now, Dave, he's become a bit marginalised in the scenario.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We have a shomer outside and that's where he sleeps now. And yeah. So
what's his name?
That's Philip, is the husband, yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. Well, Philip's on the line.
How are you, Dave?
Philip, you're feeling a bit out in the cold, literally, I suppose.
Out in the cold, literally, yeah. It's not really a shomer so much as a Wendy house.
Right.
There's no plumbing, there's no insulation.
Yeah. Is there electricity?
There is if I hook me iPhone speaker up to me lighter. It's weird, but it's actually working.
You hook your iPhone speaker up to your lighter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, you wouldn't really call that, I suppose, electricity.
Well, listen, Thomas Edison isn't here, but get about 30 minutes of it in the evenings.
Yeah. So listen, it kind of seems like you brought this on yourself. I'm not super sympathetic to your cause, but what would you like to see happen now with your relationship?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know, I'm out in the doghouse here and I am remorseful for me ways.
Yeah.
Marjorie was a flash in the pan, God forgive me.
Well, she's not a flash in the pan anymore. She's here to stay.
She's here.
Her
to
and
stay,
Sonia are getting on great.
I just didn't see it going anywhere. Like, I didn't have the foresight to use a Johnny to fill out the forms for like the birth cert and the children's allowance and stuff. And I don't like forms basically. And Marjorie knew that.
Yeah, well, nobody likes forms.
Yeah, you know? It's very overwhelming for me. I felt stuck in my ways and like not listened to and not seen. And then when Marjorie arrived and the two of them started doing Tupperware parties that turned into body painting, that turned into poetry and cognac night. I wasn't invited to any of them. And then I walk into the kitchen and they're bollock naked, Dave.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing a lot of poor me, poor Philip. Like I said, I don't have much sympathy for you. Like, what do you think, Sonia? Like, has he brought this on himself?
He absolutely has. And this is the thing, you know, what started out as a nightmare has turned into a bit of a miracle for me and for Marjorie. We've had a fantastic time getting to know each other, and Philip, we have invited along, when it's appropriate. But oftentimes, it's just stuff that girls prefer. So,
like cognac,
exactly. And so, with all respect to Philip, you know, I think that what's working is, you know, the odd time we might want something from a top shelf, and he's a very tall man, and that's something we can involve him in. But other than that, I do think myself and Marjorie are kind of pairing on. We're getting on very well. And so, you know.
That does sound like a bit of a miracle. Let's bring in Marjorie. Marjorie, what would you like to see happen with Philip now? I mean, he's out in the Wendy house or the showroom or whatever you want to call it. Is that where he belongs, or?
I think so. Think so, Dave. Yeah. It just seems natural that I, saw this man with, you know, not much to offer, but couldn't help but be attracted to him anyway. And in therapy, I worked out what this was, Dave. This was actually that I wanted what he had. Mm. I wanted his life.
Well, yeah, literally, and his wife as well.
And then I knew that was what the problem with me and Philip's short relationship was. I didn't want him. I wanted his wife. Or sorry, his life.
Yes, and his wife.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I wouldn't say I set out to, but, you know, life is a funny way of working out sometimes, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? And I mean, that's sometimes miracles do happen at Christmas.
Yes.
Obviously not for Philip.
Not for me. Sandy won't even know where to find me, Dave.
No. I just couldn't help but, you know, when I met Philip first, I couldn't help but notice that he had a strand of long red hair on his shoulder. And I thought, who wants that? So I asked him and he said, it's actually, well, it's my friend. And I knew then it was his wife, of course. You know, that's what they all say.
He was probably slipping off the wedding ring finger as he said it, was he?
And then, you see, we had an illicit affair in which I would pull up in my car outside his house and wait for him for a few hours. And I'd get a good view of the window there as well. And I would see my beloved Sonia go about her day as well. But he didn't ask me to wait there for hours. But I thought it was best, you know, for secrecy reasons to wait there and watch Sonia for hours.
And then obviously you had the kid and you figured that was the right time to make your move. Sounds like the wrong thing to say, but what made you go and speak to Sonia at that point at Christmas?
Well, at that point, Dave, it just felt right because, you see, I had watched Sonia for months, so I knew exactly what type of person she was. I also went through her garbage. Yes, is that what we call it these days? Garbage. Yes, but you know what they say, one
woman's trash is another one's treasure. And I went through her treasure and found out a few things about her. Her favourite deodorant, her favourite perfume, what type of magazine she liked to read. I found she was very cultured, just like me. You know, yeah, she liked to read the Sunday Times culture segment, just like me, you know. And yes, so I felt, you know, I knew her already.
She's like a kindred spirit.
Yes, and I just felt like, you know, through all my research, and of course I knew her password to her Facebook page, and I just, you know, I felt like I knew her already before I met her.
And this, none of this bothered you, Sonia? This kind of, I suppose, mild stalking, you'd call it.
It's funny because this is kind of the first time I'm hearing about
stalking.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Which, well, I wouldn't call it stalking.
Well, it sounds like mild stalking.
Yeah. Oh. Typical affair stuff, Dave.
Yeah. So how does that make you feel now, Sonia?
That's sitting a little uneasy.
Is it? Yeah.
It's sitting a little uneasy. Just thinking back on the whole picture.
Uneasy like summer loving, am I right?
She is insane, Sonia. Will you please open the back door? Please.
I mean, Philip, like,
I haven't even seen the baby. I'm after getting him apart in the nativity. He's going to play Jesus and you won't even let me in. My feet are freezing.
I'm sorry, Philip. I was raging at you. I was absolutely raging at you. And to be honest, what I'm after getting with Marjorie is just that sensitivity that you didn't bring.
You didn't.
I can be more sensitive. Give me half a chance. I can be sensitive. I'll be a little sap. Please.
Is it too little too late, Sonia?
It's just a bit awkward now because I'm after getting your one living with us and all. Like,
yeah.
Easy come, easy go. We'll just get rid of her. Please. The car's still out in the driveway. Pack up our little knapsack of belongings. Kick her out. I understand she can hear everything I'm saying, but please.
He's twisting my words, I would say. You know, he's twisting my words. Sonia, what you and I have together is real. I live for you.
It is based on a lot of lies, though, would you say, Marjorie?
I wouldn't say lies.
Deception? Deceit?
I think you're twisting my words there, Dave, I would say, yeah. Now, I would call it love, intense love, like Sonia has never felt before, and she's confused right now. It's you know, she's confused.
Sonia, she is denying your reality constantly.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty dizzy. I don't know which way is up with the pair is.
Yeah.
You're both a little bit on the psychotic side of things, I'm feeling.
We never said that we weren't.
I love you both. I do love you both.
Well, it's interesting because it seems like you have a type, which is psychotic, but also that Philip has a type, which is why you and Marjorie are so alike.
That's true, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Or are you actually alike? I don't know if you're alike or if you've just kind of mirrored her. With all this knowledge.
Do you really wear Dove deodorant normally? Like, I need to know that, at least.
Yes. Well.
Do you like cognac?
No, okay, Dave, I'm more of a wine girl myself, okay?
So it seems like there's probably a lot of lies in that relationship as well.
Jesus. But I would drink cognac for you. I would drown in a bath of cognac for you, Sonia. Anything for you. And if you kick me out, I'll never truly leave.
What does that mean? Is that a threat?
That sounded like a threat.
I just mean that I'll be in your heart. I'll never leave your heart or your general catchment area. Yeah. Oh, but mostly your heart and your mind.
Okay, Sonia, what's it going to be? Are you going to stick with Marjorie, bring Philip back in from the cold, get rid of both of them?
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, do I just get out of my own catchment area? But I think at the end of the day, I feel very reassured by what you said, that you'd never leave my
never
catchment area. So I think I'll just carry on as is.
Okay, great. Hard luck, Philip. It doesn't look like you're going to get invited back in at any stage, but you never know. Christmas miracles can happen. Stay on the line and maybe we'll catch up with you a little bit later. As I'm sure you know, Phoning It In is just one of the many excellent podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Here's a little teaser for another one you should definitely check out.
Tell me, are you still looking for something worth dying for?
Oh, kid. I left all that behind me. These days, I'm much happier as the humble owner of this down-to-earth and incredibly exclusive nightclub.
Mick turns his head away and stares pensively.
Dancing hot sex man, adventure romance. He will kick several Nazis and get in your pants.
Blackbird! Listen to the Bootsy Boys Blackbird on the Headstuff Podcast Network.
There is a new way to support the show, and it's called Headstuff Plus. For a small monthly fee, you'll not only help me to continue making more episodes of this show, you'll also get heaps of bonus content from every single show on the network. That includes new bonus episodes of this show, which will be released every other week. So please head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. My special guest joining me in the studio today is the Ghost of Christmas Future. I imagine this is a busy time of the year for you, is it?
Oh, it certainly is. Yes, it certainly is. I'm very busy being ominous and omnipresent for those who deserve it.
Right. What should I call you?
I know, it's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, yeah. Ghost of Christmas
Future. A lot of my
future.
Friends call me Fuch.
Fuch?
Yeah, Fuch.
Oh, that's nice.
It's playful.
Yeah. Okay, so Fuch, can you only see future Christmases?
I can see the period between the 12 pubs of Christmas and the 2nd of Jan.
2nd of January.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. So you got New Year's in there as well. The 12 pubs, when is that kick? That kicks off about mid-December, is it?
It depends. Yeah, generally the 12th, 13th. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
So you've got a couple of weeks there of a window.
Good. Good few weeks.
And there's obviously a lot you can teach people in that time.
Mm.
I've got Terry and Bernie on the line. We were chatting to them earlier.
Fantastic.
I don't know if you heard the conversation.
I listened in. I did.
Okay. Great. Yeah. So Terry and Bernie are sisters. I couldn't quite get to them. Do you both live in the cul-de-sac? Or are you in this estate, Bernie?
Yeah.
You're in the estate and you're in
other
the
other side of it.
Yeah. And recently everyone in the cul-de-sac and the estate was brought together. It was a Christmas miracle. And they dug out a wall of ice that for some reason Santa wouldn't have been able to fly over. What do you see in their futures if they don't mend this rift?
Yes, Dave, yes. Well, first of all, I've been waiting for this moment to come. I've seen this bubbling ever since the Christmas tree incident.
Oh, with
the Tom over here. What a creep.
With the angel and the star?
The angel, that was pivotal. That was critical.
Yeah.
I watched on and thought, these two little munchkins. And now look at them.
Yeah.
Now, it's getting worse. It is getting worse.
Definitely.
Every year, it's getting worse for the pair of them. Bernie, can I ask you a question?
What? You creep.
Hang on now, Bernie. This is his job.
She looking at us.
Huh?
She looking in our private sitting room.
Yeah, but it's...
Are you telling me the last 43 years of my life you've been spying on me?
This is the Ghost of Christmas Future, okay?
Yeah.
A bit of respect.
Yeah. You wouldn't call Santa a creep, would you? He sees you when you're sleeping.
She did.
He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or bad.
Dave, I never thought of it that way before, actually. God, but at least Santa, he comes in, he does his bits, and he leaves.
Well, so does the Ghost of Christmas Future. And, you know, it's all well and good. Santa gets all the credit because he brings the gifts and everyone wants gifts and stuff. The Ghost of Christmas Future is here to try and help you better your life. And that's better than a poxy DVD player from Argos or...
Yeah, it's not an easy job, Bernie.
Listen, I just want to see what your data protection policy is, Ghost.
Well, you don't operate out of...
We don't operate within the EU,
so GDPR doesn't apply.
Yeah. All right.
Bernie, I was going to ask you if you remember what happened in the Christmas of 2003.
I do.
Well, you might recall that on that particular Christmas, you woke up a little bit earlier than normal at 5, before your sister. And you crept down the stairs and you saw that your sister had gotten a very fancy drum set.
Yes.
And your sister might recall that for the year you played that drum set because you took ownership of it.
You switched the tags.
Switched the tags. And she got what?
Terry, do you remember this?
Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Had you asked for a drum set that year?
Yes, I had, actually.
Yeah, and did you think it was strange that Bernie was the one that got the drum set?
Yes, I did. I was devastated. Yeah, I couldn't even stand. Couldn't swallow me Christmas dinner, no nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I went on to have a very successful career as a drummer.
Yeah, well, that's not great for Terry, is it? She could have been the successful drummer.
I had been asked to support Atomic Kitten in the Old Sheelan Hotel that New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And it never came around because that little bint was upstairs bashing the drums to our heart's content.
Look, I'm sorry.
Well, the correction that's coming is, I think you'll know this yourself, Terry. When you had those spoons in your hand and you were hacking away, and didn't it bring back for you all the rhythm of the drums, didn't it?
Fuge, you are just like speaking right into my soul right now, because that's exactly what I was going for.
That's it. Exactly. I saw the Facebook Live and I saw the rhythm that you hit in your parody.
Did you see how much welly I was giving it? Like, it was actually embarrassing. I was flying through the atmosphere. I was going so fast the phone couldn't even pick me up. I was moving like a hummingbird. I was. That's what they said in the North Side Peep.
Wait a second, Fuge. Are you saying that there's a career as a drummer in Terry's future?
There's a career as a very, very average, but successful enough to live off it, drummer for you in your future.
Wow.
No, me? Oh my God. Thank you.
Do you think she'll get to support Atomic Kitten in the future? In a future Christmas or New Year's party?
I see for you a support for, not all, but for Carrie Katona.
Oh my God, she was my favourite one, Fuge. Thanks.
Everyone's favourite.
Did you hear that, Bernie? Put that in your pipe and smoke it all day.
Bernie, Fuge, what's Bernie's future if she doesn't get her act together here?
The future for you, Bernie, is a little bleaker.
Oh dear.
Particularly because of the questions you've asked me about GDPR.
All right. Well, look, you know, listen there, Fuge. Can I call you Fuge? Well, look, Fuge, sometimes I come off as a little bit defensive, you know, but I'm not actually. I'm nice enough when you get to know me, you know, so it doesn't have to be that bleak. Could be a little bit jollier, as you say in your business.
Bernie, the future for you can change. You're using Facebook for bad. You're going in, you're doing bots and you're logging onto your sister's Facebook and you're hacking people's passwords. What I want for you is, I want you to go on and I want you to do a very long, emotionally heart-wrenching, overly exposing, vulnerable post and share what a little brat you've been.
Would you do that, Bernie?
Right, so, like, do I have to, like, say, oh, you know, I have to admit to all that, do I?
You have to repent. You have, it's the only way. Confession boxes are gone.
Could I not just say I was, like, suffering from I was going through a dark time instead
perfect.
Of, like, yeah?
Perfect.
I don't have to say exactly what it was, but maybe if I just say something like, you know, life has thrown a lot of obstacles my way. You know, and
no one could argue with that.
And, you know, no matter how hard I tried, sometimes I couldn't overcome the obstacles or log out of my Facebook account when I should have brought this kids to school. Yeah, I missed a few days of school. And you know, but I had dark times and now I'm thinking more positively. And I just hope everybody feels sorry for me. If you want to leave a like or a comment saying how sorry you feel for me, that'd really give me a boost to my mental health.
You could throw in a hashtag trying at the end.
That's very good. Yeah. Hashtag trying, hashtag awareness. Yeah.
Sound good?
That's perfect. You know, what people don't realise is the future really is all about manipulation of the algorithm. And I can't say that firmly enough to all the kids out there today.
Okay, well, that's a good message for everyone to take away. Terry, Bernie, thank you for phoning it in. I want to come back to Philip, who we were speaking to earlier. Philip is, you must have caught that conversation as well, did you?
Of course.
He's living in, I suppose, kind of a Wendy house out in his garden. His wife is kind of shacked up with his former lover. They're quite happy, it seems. They're kind of ready to move on. What do you see in Philip's future?
Philip, you're an interesting man, aren't you?
Thank you, Mr. Fuge.
I hadn't picked up on that. Go on.
Oh, he's a wildly interesting man. He's been so resourceful in that Wendy house.
Oh, with the iPhone speaker and
with
the lighter.
With the iPhone speaker. Wow.
Yeah, look, it came from my own brain. It was actually scary but cool at the same time.
Mm. You're broken down, though, this Christmas.
Yes.
Your wife's inside, rolling around the kitchen floor.
Yeah, don't remind me. I had a leaf for me tea, Mr. Fuge. There's caterpillars everywhere. And my pillow is currently an old piece of lino.
Do you mean like a lettuce leaf or just like a...
No, I mean like a crumpled piece of orange off the oak tree. I even ate the stem off of it. I'm starving.
Yeah. Oh, it's been tough. I saw this coming for... You had a lovely Christmas last year. Lovely.
It was perfect.
Perfect Christmas.
Yeah.
And perfect Christmases will come again. We must, of course, learn from what we've seen before us. One home wreck deserves another, is what I always say. And what I'd advise you to do is to have a look in your catchment area for a similar family that you could perpetrate in this way that you've had your own family perpetrated.
You mean like manipulations and that?
Going through the rubbish and...
You'll find your own style, Philip.
Yeah.
What I'd suggest is maybe that you join a local Tidy Towns group, something like that. The next thing you're picking up rubbish alongside a good-looking woman.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, you're saying, maybe we could go home and put this stuff in your bin. Do you know?
And you'll be on the WhatsApp group, the Tidy Towns WhatsApp group then, so you'll
That's
have...
Actually
You'll
That's
see who's on there.
See who's, you can see their photographs on WhatsApp these
can
days.
Can you?
Yeah, you can click into their account. Yeah.
Okay. Like, I don't want to get me hands mad sticky or anything, but like, if they gave me gloves...
Oh, they'll give you gloves. Yeah. And one of those little picker-up things, you know.
Picker-up thing.
Yeah. The high-vis as well, so you... Yeah.
Oh, no, what?
Yeah.
Question.
And there's yours. You can hang on to them.
Oh, COVID times, you can't share anything. Yes, you can share.
Mr.
Even
Fuge.
If you only went and picked up rubbish once, you could hang on to those.
That would be good insulation for the Wendy house. And that, Mr. Fuge, when it comes to the cigarette butts with the Tidy Towns, can you keep them or what?
You can keep those. Yeah, you can finish off the last of it. Some people are very wasteful with the ends of their cigarettes, you're right.
Yeah, particularly if they have the...
I'm with you now. Yeah. Do you know them? Do you know it, tidy group with the good-looking tidy people?
First of all, they're always good-looking. The Tidy Towns people are inherently a very attractive bunch of people.
Hey.
You'll find them. But what I want you to focus on, Philip, right now, is I need you to build up where you're at. When you meet someone new, you're chatting about your lifestyle. What you're going to have to overcome, because I can see a beautiful woman in your future... Is that first conversation? Where are you living? What you can't be saying you're living in a Wendy house.
Sell yourself,
Philip. Sell yourself, because you were a fantastic man for about 6 months a couple of years ago. You actually went through a really good phase. Go back to that phase.
Okay, listen, I'll do me best. # trying, as they say. Thanks very much.
Well, great advice there from the Ghost of Christmas Future. Someone who wasn't so happy with the advice you gave them was a former client of yours, Jeff Bezos, is on the line. Jeff, how are you doing?
Yeah. Hi, Christmas Ghost. Yeah?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, hi.
Jeff, hi.
Do you remember Jeff?
He's similar enough to other people, but yeah, I kind of have a vague memory.
You'd speak to a lot of millionaires, billionaires, that kind of thing.
I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Well, this guy told me that if I went to space, everybody would like me and stop thinking I was such a big meanie.
Yeah.
And everyone would think I was a big, strong boy again.
Yeah.
Okay. What did I do?
You went to space.
I went to my wife. I said, honey, I'm going to space. She said, hell no, I'm out of here, and took a lot of my money with her. Then I go up to space, and people still are like, why are you going up to space for? You're so rich. Give us money. I'm like, I don't have all the money in the world.
You do have a lot of it, though, Jeff, to be fair.
What are you talking about, man? I don't have all the money
no,
in the world.
No, you don't have all the money in the world. That's
I got a good bit, but I don't got it all. So I thought, hey, what'll I do? I'll put people in the spaceship with me that they're like. I put this old lady in the spaceship. Some people went nuts for that old lady because they were like, oh, look how nice he is.
Yeah,
you told me to do.
You brought William Shatner up.
I brought Shatner up because I thought he's used to space. He's been in space before, you know.
Well, you know.
He's been in space
before. No, he hadn't. That was the whole point. But yeah.
Yeah, and I brought these guys up. I go up, I orbit the moon, and still people don't like me. Mm. People don't like me still.
So, Fuch, what went wrong there? Because this was your advice, the whole space mission thing.
It was my advice. And sometimes I do a little trickery where I try to teach you a hard lesson. Jeff, what did I teach you? No one likes a try hard. You were... It was embarrassing what you did. And you gobbled up all my advice and you did it exactly to the letter. You were a little lick arse.
Oh, this was all a long lesson for Jeff to learn.
Lesson, and it's hopefully landing.
It seems to be landing.
Today.
Yeah.
I am a no, big strong.
Pardon the pun.
If you don't, okay. I'm funny too.
Future's funny.
I cannot believe that. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you. I'm a big, strong, scary boy and I'm going to sue.
No one thinks you're a big, strong boy anymore, Jeff.
I am a big, strong boy.
You're not. No, you can go up to space as many times as you want. No one's going to
think you're... Lots and lots of people do what I do because I'm a big, strong boy. I am a big, strong boy.
I don't think you're a big, strong boy.
I think so.
You've got a lot of money.
The way people do what I tell them
to do?
Yeah,
well, that's because you're paying them. You've got a lot of money, but that doesn't make you a big, strong boy, Jeff.
No, they do that because they're afraid of my physical power. When I enter the room, I have a physical power. When I enter the room and I walk under a light, I blind people with the power from my head. That's
okay.
Right.
It doesn't seem like Jeff has learned anything at all.
I don't think anything's sinking in here, Jeff. Yeah. You're really annoying. You know, you're hugely irritating as a
annoying?
Person.
I'm the funniest man on the planet, as voted in Times New Roman Person of the Year. That's right. Times New Roman, Person of the Year.
Yeah, but
2021.
You own Times New Roman. Obviously, they're going to vote you Person
what?
Of the Year.
I don't own that.
You bought Times New Roman.
Did I?
Just so you could get yourself awarded.
Oh, no, I thought I returned that. Didn't I return that?
No, you didn't
that?
Return it, Jeff.
What? I thought I had... Did I keep... Hey, Sarah, did you not keep a receipt for Times New Roman?
No, I didn't. I didn't. You told me not to...
That was an impulse buy. I want to give it back.
I'm sorry, big strong boy.
That's right. See? She thinks I'm a big strong boy.
She works for you, Jeff. Of course she's going to say that.
Sarah, tickle my chin. Tickle my chin.
Okay, like underneath or to the underneath, side? Or,
tickle my chin.
It's a bit...
Tickle my chin.
Wet. It's a bit wet, Jeff.
Okay, sorry, Dave. I just had to take a pause there to get my chin.
Yeah, no worries. Fuch, what can you do in a case like this?
It's tough. You're a tough cookie to crumble.
I'm a tough boy. I'm a tough boy. I don't crumble like a cookie. I'm too strong to crumble.
Jeff, this coming Christmas is just around the corner.
Yeah.
I see something for you that might make you happy at last. On the 12th of December, you're going to bump into a small group of skateboarder children.
What?
This group of rapscallion rogues, they're exactly your energy. They will lap you up and you're going to join that little gang and you'll go from door to door and you'll have sleepovers and it'll be all very inappropriate. But this is the level that you're at. You are inside a 9-year-old skater boy.
Right. And they will think he's a big, strong boy.
They will think you're a big, strong boy.
By comparison, you are a big, strong boy.
I am
a big strong boy.
Yes.
This is what I've been trying to tell the
world.
Yeah,
you just need to find your niche, which is 9-year-old skater boys. Great. Well, listen, I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank all my callers today, but I especially want to thank Kate Feeney, Ali Fox, and Aoife Spratt. Guys, do you have anything you want to plug? Kate.
Mob Theatre is back. Hey. Shows on Thursday, so come down and see us in Wigwam.
Brilliant. Aoife?
Not really, Dave. no, me and Dave are in a film on Sky Movies called Poster Boys, actually. If you have Sky, you can watch it on that. We're both in it.
Yeah. Blinking, you'll miss me. Ali?
I have a gig in Whelan's this coming Tuesday, but I don't think this will be out in the world before then.
No, this is going out December 20th.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nothing for the rest of the year. But you can follow me online, but not in real life. Ali Fox. Send me nice things online.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys. Thank you to the Heads of Podcast Network for having us and to Bobby Ahern for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
Phoning it in. Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
Hey! Happy Christmas, everyone!
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.